verse 15 specifically, he says, here's a man, Saul's coming. Jesus says, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. We've been looking at more of a study about, it's more historical recently, just to kind of give us an idea of how the effects of what is called replacement theology has had on our church or other churches and what we need to do about it and so forth. And God's clear that there's always been, ever since Jesus, there's always been truth about what he expects from the church and how he is going to deal with us. But he also, the Word of God also shares with us very clearly how he's going to deal with Israel and the Jews, even during this time of their history. Now, how is he going to deal with Israel today? Does he expect them to have an altar in their backyard and continue to follow the sacrifices of the Old Testament and things of that nature? Is he expecting Israel to do that today? No. What does he tell them they need to accept? Jesus, just like you and just like me. That's how God deals with us today. Well, we've seen that that particular teaching, which is in the Bible, which the disciples shared, has been changed over time in some false religions that continue to exist today. Last time we looked at, letter C here, replacement theology, how it led or leads to errant eschatology. Remember, ecclesiology, ecclesia, the study of what? Called out ones, ecclesia, the study of church or the function of the church. So eschatology, which is, if you look at the top of your page, you will know what that means. It's the study of what? Last days, the final days, etc., the last days, eschatology. And that's what we're thinking and looking at here as we continue with letter C. So we saw last time we finished this off, the New Testament church, meaning that church that existed at the time of the New Testament, believed in a premillennial return of Jesus Christ. Not only would he come and come to before the thousand-year reign, but he would come before that. And what do we call that return? The rapture. Jesus is going to come in the air. He will not set his feet on the earth. He'll be in the clouds. 7 years later, after the time of the tribulation, he will set his feet on the ground and establish his thousand-year kingdom here physically as well. So that's what the Bible teaches. Well, we saw that there were anti-Jewish church leaders in Rome who introduced what the term called amillennialism, meaning they're not going to be a millennial kingdom. We are the kingdom is what they claimed. Augustine is the main head of that particular teaching at the time, and his writings still have great influence in false religions and churches today. He taught that church is a messianic kingdom, so therefore we don't need a millennial reign. He introduced the word Catholic. Catholic means universal, amongst other things. And again, millennium began with the first coming of Jesus Christ and continues through the present. That's where we stop. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll continue on after that. Father, thank you for, Lord, those faithful preachers and teachers and Christians of the history and of past, Lord, who kept your word faithful, and they were true to you. And not only that, they not only kept it, but they shared it with others, Lord. They saw the need to reach out to other nations, just like Jesus said. And now, God, I pray, help us to continue on with that heritage, Lord. Help us to see how we can do that, because you've done it before. In fact, at a time when the world seemed far from you, you still were working in the hearts of men. Now I ask, Lord, as we see your truth, that you would get the honor and glory through things said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. To study church history, if you're like me, you have to study Baptist history. If you don't include that, you're not telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And Baptist history, in my mind, is real church history. That's what I believe, real church history. The Catholics would say their line is the way it actually, in fact, they would call you, if we existed, in 400 AD or whatever, what's that, 1400, 1500 years ago, we would be considered heretics. And not only would lose some of our properties, but we likely would be imprisoned and possibly executed for simply saying, no, we don't get baptized as infants. We don't need to answer to another church outside of this one, and so forth, and other things that Scripture teaches clearly. And those are the things that the Roman Catholic, I want to be very clear, Roman Catholic Church would follow through with. So let's take a look here. Number three, the Roman Catholic Church, it maintained replacement theology. Remember, replacement theology is claiming that God no longer works with Israel. He's not going to keep his word when he told Abraham, I've got the land for you. I'm going to give that to you someday, and there's going to be a kingdom for 1,000 years. They claim that's not going to happen because now God no longer works with Israel. He works with the church. That is their claim. So they claim the promises belong to them. Let me ask you this. What was it that proved in history they really thought that they were the actual inheritors of the land? Can anybody think back to the Dark Ages, Middle Ages? Crusades. What did they do? The Crusades. We're going to talk about that, at least one of them, not too long ago here. But the Crusades was proof that they really believed that Israel was going to be their land. Did they succeed? No, they didn't. But there is some positive things about what they did, but obviously some not so positive things, and we're going to look at that even tonight. But they believed, again, they believed that they were the ones that replaced Israel. So that's replacement theology. It led to persecution of Jews and, listen to this, Bible believers. That's the blanks there, Bible believers. They persecuted those who would adhere to the Scriptures and what God says in His Word instead of those who would follow, you know, the Catholic doctrine, the Catholic Church catechisms and so forth, things that the church would put out as what they needed to do, which, by the way, changed. They didn't always teach the same thing. Well, it changed today. It's different tomorrow. Jews were labeled Christ killers. Anybody ever gone to a Catholic school or anything like that? My dad went to one, and I know this is true because he told me when he was young, the nuns were the teachers. And he would say, you can't like the Jews. They are Christ killers. So even today, that term has continued on here thousands of years later. By the way, who killed Christ? The world killed Christ. The world did. And by the way, we didn't kill him. He offered himself up. How did he die? He said, it is finished. He's the one who gave up the ghost. The Bible says it's very clear. He's the one who offered himself as a sacrifice. So anyway, moving on. Jews were labeled Christ killers. In Europe, they were denied citizenship in the country or province they lived. They could not serve in a civil service or military service. That was the beginning of the persecution. And then as time went on, hundreds of thousands were killed and forced to uproot. This is a matter of history, during especially the First Crusade, which happened in 1096 AD. So we're skipping through a lot of years there, but that eventually came to that point where the Roman Catholic Church just had basically open season on them because they believed they had no place in God's plan. Another group that was prominent, and if you look back at Catholic writings as well, they were concerned about them because they had grown to such large numbers, is a group called the Paulicians. They existed, from what I have read, between the 3rd and 16th century. That would be late 200s to 1500s. They were enemies. The enemies, which would be the Roman Catholic Church, falsely accused them as accepting only the writings of Apostle Paul. That's why they called him Paulician. So Paul is the blank there. But they did believe the complete word of God. They taught each of the Baptist distinctives that we would claim and believe today. This is not on the paper, but they were missions-minded. They went to other countries as well to try and spread the gospel. They followed the scriptures as best as we can see. They were persecuted by the Catholic Church and Byzantine, B-Y-Z-A-N-T-I-N-E, Byzantine Empire, the Byzantine Empire. So let's do a little history here. The Roman Empire was in charge, and for hundreds of years, they controlled much of what was going on in the world. Jesus lived during those times, the apostles in the New Testament church. For another 200 or 300 years, the Roman Empire was fairly strong. In the early 300s, they began to crumble, especially their southern kingdom, but the eastern was still strong, meaning Italy and so forth in parts of Europe, or excuse me, the western part of Europe. But a new emperor came to about. His name was Constantine. You've heard of the name Constantine. He moved the capital from Rome to Constantinople, which is near Turkey today, and it became the center of the new empire they called the Byzantine Empire. Byzantine meaning Byzantium is the area where he settled Constantinople. So they called it the Byzantine Empire. It lasted for almost 1,000 years, long, long time. The Paulicians were believers who lived and served the Lord in most of that time. Here we see during the Byzantine Empire, one particular command or edict, I should say, was given to the Armenian province. Armenia, we've heard of this land before. How many have heard of Armenian massacred or in World War? Was before World War I, actually, but it was basically to wipe out the whole population. They didn't do it. They're still in existence today. But even back then, in a particular time, 843 AD, an order was given for 100,000 or more, as many as they could, in the province of Armenia to kill Paulicians specifically. Search out those people who believe the Bible is the Word of God, who believe you can't be saved without Jesus, faith in Jesus Christ alone, who believe that you shouldn't get baptized until after you have a profession of faith, who believe in the priesthood of the believer, who believe in the polity of the church that we would see in God's Word, all those things, kill them. 100,000. It's a matter of history. They were used by God, however, to faithfully preserve, that's the blank, preserve New Testament writings. They didn't just copy the Word of God and then hide it in a vault somewhere. They would copy the Word of God, and if they were missions-minded, what do you think they did with it? They took it and took it out to someplace else and said, here's God's Word, let's read it, let's learn it, let's put it into practice, and continue to copy and copy and copy and so forth and preserve the words of God, as well as grow the family of God. Their writings, their doctrine, and church polity, that is how they function the church. There's even a particular section about how to have a baptismal service in a group of writings called the Key of Truth. The Key of Truth. That's a book. You can actually find it online. It was not written in English, but it's been translated, and you can read through it if you want. Most of it are things that you would know, that, okay, that's what Scripture tells us. How did they do it? They copied and they distributed. That's what they did. Copied and distributed and shared the Lord with others. These are important times, and we're going to finish this next week, Lord willing, this part of the study. We're going to finish this next week. This is an important time because what was happening in the world roughly around 1350 to the mid-1400s, instead of handwritten copies, things were beginning to be printed out. 1455 is the year that Gutenberg's Bible was published. Other scriptures were written by in numerous copies. In the 1382, John Wycliffe is the one who wrote down in Middle English what the scriptures for the English-speaking people. God began to reach out to people in such a way through His Word, but using the people of God to do it. I wanted to include the Paulicians. There's some others that we might mention next time. But this is a group of people you may have never heard of, but they were prominent. in history that God used. And in our heritage, they were used by God. So let's go ahead and find a partner. Let's go pray. Thank God for these folks and pray for these ones on this side of the paper.